chapter 19. As we are progressing through the Gospel of Matthew, I think we're probably in year two. There's a lot in here. All right, we're going to look at verses 13 through 15. Matthew 19, verses 13 through 15. If you are able to stand, I'd like you to stand in honor of God's Word. Matthew 19, verse 13 through 15 here. Okay, are you ready? Okay, all right. Verse 13. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. All right, there are two other places in our Gospels that record this same incident. We'll look at those in just a moment. Let's pray here together. Father, we are thankful to be in your house, and Lord, as we consider the little children, we pray your Holy Spirit would help us to understand exactly from the text that which we need to receive. May it strengthen our faith and challenge us. May it bring you glory. And may it make people mindful of their own spiritual condition. I'm asking, Lord, that through this you would be glorified. Bless our special music now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Since we're at this passage of Scripture, the reality is there is a war in our country, not just a spiritual war, but there is a cultural, moral war for the minds of our children. And we as Christians, number one, we need to know God's plan and God's purpose, but we need to take some action. There's something we can do that can make a difference. So we're going to study this, but I want us to look at a couple other passages here because I want us to get the whole picture. In Mark chapter 10, if you want to flip over in your Bible, we will come back to Matthew 19, so please don't lose your spot there. But in Mark chapter 10, you know, the thing of it is with kids, as you're turning there, you only have so much time with them to work with that moldable, innocent heart. There are things that they can see now at such a young age that we'd have never dreamed of our children being exposed to. And they, with a click of a button, they hear things and see things that'll affect their mind and conscience for as long as they're alive. Well, anyways, I was thinking the other day as I was preparing this, my oldest daughter is 31. I remember her sitting on the couch. She was 12. And she said, Dad, I don't want to grow up. And I remember at that time thinking, you know, I'd like you to stay here as well. But now that we got these grandkids, I'm glad that she's... But you know, at that time, it's like, I am glad she loves her home. I'm glad she loves her home and she's comfortable here. She's secure here. I wish every child could have that. A secure home, comfort. It is unfortunate. If you did not have that, it's unfortunate there are children that do not have that. I do believe God's grace can compensate where us humans lack. And some of you are a testimony, you're a living testimony of God's grace in spite of a very difficult home life. We rejoice that you have that heart for the Lord. You're in the house of God and you're going the right direction. But nevertheless, boy, it doesn't take long for that little mind to get defiled and formed and even their own value system to take a mold of its own. And you know, we want to do all we can while we can. I got to read this or I'll get on a tangent here. Mark chapter 10, verse 13 through 16. It is the same passage, only there's some distinctive differences here. Verse 13, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much, what's the word? Displeased. And said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Now if you turn over to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 real quick. Luke 18. Again, it's the same narrative, but there's something different about it. Something extra. Luke 18, verses 15 through 17. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Okay, so a couple things I want to bring out here. If you want to flip back to Matthew 19, because that's where we're going to park it. Some distinctions. In Mark, we discovered Jesus was very displeased with the disciples for making it difficult for the parents to bring their babies to Jesus. In Luke, we discovered that those were babies. They were infants. They were infants. Now, twice in the chapter of in Matthew 19, Jesus makes emphasis of children. We talked about this a little earlier, a couple months ago. A month ago, maybe. Now, I want us to zero in on this thought here, or this phrase here in verse 13 of Matthew 19. As I look at the passage, I want to pull this out. Obviously, it says, then were there brought unto him little children. The children didn't get there by themselves. Somebody had to bring the children to Jesus. These children needed some help. They needed some guidance. They needed direction. They needed hands. They needed feet to bring them to Jesus Christ. The first thing I will say is this. To every parent that brings their child to church, I salute you. To every parent that's concerned about bringing their child to Jesus Christ, you are a wise parent. God is paying attention to that. You can expect God's favor in your life because you're trying to bring children to Jesus Christ. Your children. That ought to be the ministry of every parent, especially a parent that calls themselves a Christian. But the question is this, are we doing what we can to bring our children to Jesus Christ? As I consider this text, there's a lot to this. But the reality is, these disciples, these men who had followed Jesus, and again, they were learning as they were following. But often as they followed the Lord Jesus Christ, let me turn this on, as they were following the Lord Jesus Christ, there were character flaws, there were intellectual defects or spiritual defects in their behavior that are revealed as they follow. And this is one of them. Now I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that they maybe in their mind thought, Jesus needs a break. He's tired. Now, again, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt there for a moment. You and I have read it. But they've been with Jesus, and they know he's still a man. He gets hungry. He gets tired and all of that. And then they see all these parents bringing their children, toddlers, infants, and little children. 2-3-year-olds and whatnot, and bringing them to Jesus, and he's surrounded. And the Bible says they rebuked these people. And God wants us to know that displeased Jesus. It brought a frown on the Lord's face. I'm sure all he had to do was look at them initially. But he did more than look. When he rebuked them, his disciples, and he makes the statement, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." The word suffer means permit. It just means permit them. And then he says, "For such are the kingdom of God." Now think about this. That tells me there's got to be some laughter in heaven. There's got to be some fun in heaven. For of such is the... Hey, I'm sure if you and I got a chance to sneak out of here right now and peek in the 2- and 3-year-old room, we would see a variety of things. We might see some real selfish little brats too. I understand that. Wouldn't be your child though. No, it wouldn't be your child. But man, kids can have fun and they can get over things pretty quick. But we'd see innocence, naivety. We'd see this stuff. We'd see kids, we'd see young people who, well, they're not going to have a problem believing the Bible is the Word of God. They're not going to have a problem if you tell them God created the earth. Okay. It's when they get intelligent and get educated by the world that they start having problems with God and His Word. You know, they get smarter than the Bible. But those of you who have lived long enough and who have studied the Word of God discover that not only has God proven Himself through reason and through His Word and through personal experience, but following the Lord is the best way of life. It's the most stable way of living, living for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I look at this passage. Then were there brought unto Him little children, little children. You know, I don't know how well you know history, but the reality is this, before World War II and before the Holocaust and all the crazy stuff that happened under Hitler's regime, do you realize who he reached first? Do you realize the crowd that he won to himself first? His great following, before he ever conquered Germany and Europe, before he ever come to great fame, you know who he conquered? You know who he won to himself? The children. The children throughout the whole country. He won the children to himself. By the way, the devil knows the power of influence upon little children. He knows how quickly a little child can be influenced by an image on the TV or on their iPhone. He knows how quickly a child can be influenced and stirred up, even in their little passions as 11 and 12-year-olds, how quickly they can lose their innocence. We're living in an absolutely disgusting, perverse, immoral, wretched society. Man, I hate to even talk about it, but I read an article the other day of an 11-year-old that was pregnant. It's like, that's not right. That's not right. Now, the reality is this. If we don't deliberately reach them or try to reach them, the devil will get them. That's it. I'm not being old. That's just the truth. Well, that's why we have Sunday school classes for children. That's why we have junior churches for children. We want children to be able to hear the Word of God in a way that they can learn the Word of God. That's why we have bus routes to reach children. And we certainly love picking up any adult who needs a ride to church. We love doing that. In some cases, there are adults who say, "That's too loud for me." And if we can accommodate them, we want to accommodate them. I don't mind our bus workers telling the parents, "We provide free daycare for kindergarten on up between 9 o'clock and 1 o'clock. Because that's about the time they'd be dropped off. Free daycare on Sundays. Maybe we ought to make the flyer like that. But that is why we have bus routes and van routes, and that's why we have King's Kids, and that's why we have Vacation Bible School and camps to reach children. Now, I've got a bunch of notes here. It is obvious in our passage why we sing Jesus loves the little children. though he was tired and though the disciples didn't see the need, maybe the disciples thought, well, what good is it going to do to bring a little child? They're not even of age where they're going to grasp his truth and his teaching. Maybe they were thinking that. I don't know. But I want us to consider that. And yet, nevertheless, the Lord Jesus says, I want them to come to me. We got a nursery. And by the way, I trust our nursery workers are singing and even their influence in there is presenting Christ to the little toddlers and infants in there. And I certainly trust that the toddlers of the 3 and 4 year olds, they're getting it. I know they're learning scripture. They're learning Bible stories. But we sing the song, Jesus loves the little children, because he does love the little children. And he loves them more than we do. Now I want to consider those who make it difficult for children to come to Jesus. It says, verse 13, then were there brought unto him little children that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. Well, we already discovered it displeased Jesus that they did this. The disciples learned this because they were close to Jesus, that it displeased him when anybody made it difficult for little children to get to him. Now, are you doing anything to make it difficult for children to come to Jesus? This is where old J. Vernon McGee would say, this is where the rubber meets the road. I'm not against sports. I love sports. I love entertainment. It wouldn't be called that if it didn't appeal. But our kids need Jesus. I know you may want to see your little Johnny or Susie participate in their sports team at school. I know you want to see them get involved and enjoy things, and I know you even want them, you want them to excel, and I'm not opposed to that, but I say this, friend, if it removes them from Jesus, you're doing an injustice. I don't know how many times I've seen people take their kids out of church. Because you know, Johnny's got a ball game today. Susie has cheerleading practice today. I ask you, are you helping them come to Jesus? You say, well, I do at my home. Brenda, maybe you need a better understanding of what the church is then. It's the church is the Lord's institute. It's not man's. It's the Lord's institute. It's where believers assemble together. And by the way, Jesus said where 2 or 3 are gathered, there he is. It's the body of Christ. It is, in a sense, a way for us to bring our children to Jesus. As long as the Word of God is being taught, promoted, emphasized. Now, if the place is called a church, but it's not emphasizing the Word of God, then I would dare to differ. But if you know you're in a place that they preach the Word of God, and they preach truth, and they uphold it, and they call sin, sin, and they call righteousness, righteousness, and they call it out, and they're not afraid to deal with the social issues. Friend, I'm just telling you, are you really helping your child by removing them for some secular event? You say, well, we go half the time of the year. It doesn't take long for your kids to know what's most important in your life. It doesn't take long. Now listen, I don't say this to make you adults who have children out of the house now, and maybe they're not living the way you want them to be living. I don't say this to make you feel bad, but I hope that you, if you can look back and say, you know what, I probably could have done that, I hope you'd be with me on this. I hope you'd be with me and say, you know what, yep. Tell the parents who still have their children at home, tell them. Keep them in church. Keep them around the Word of God. Keep them around the people of God. We laugh, man. We can have fun too. Only the difference between us is we don't feel bad about it the next day. It doesn't make our conscience feel guilty or grieved. We don't lose our self-respect in our kind of fun. Contrary to the devils, contrary to the worlds, contrary to the kind of pleasure that this world is going to draw them into. We want your child to be able to look themselves in the mirror and have some self-respect. And have some convictions of right and wrong, some standards that they're willing to stand for. But that's not going to happen if we keep them away. And yet, just like the disciples rebuked them, sometimes we can inadvertently make it difficult for children to come to Jesus by our own behavior at home. Oh, that's convicting. Well, here we go. We're in an old-time Bible-preaching Baptist church, and I got to say it. It's going to be uncomfortable, so just buckle up. It'll pass, but we need to remember it. Click, click. What do your children see? What are your children watching? What do they see you watch when that's the way I want to present it? What are they watching what you watch? Are they seeing something that would defile their conscience? Friend, listen, I like entertainment. I like action. It's terrible. I like violence. I mean, if a fight breaks out, I'm against it, but I'm going to watch it. It's terrible. I like watching the hero save the day. I like those things. It's unfortunate that so much of our programming, though, has a lot of nonsense in it. A lot of bad words and inappropriate scenes. And we'll tolerate that to watch the hero save the day. While our little boy or little girl is sitting there watching the whole thing. By the way, there are filters out there you can get for movies. I'm just going to throw that out there. I'm not getting paid. I don't get a kickback. But there are plenty of filters you can buy. But your little child, they're forming opinions and values. Are you making it difficult for them or easy for them? See, this idea, the parents came, and we discovered that there were infants there. They wanted Jesus to lay their hands on their babies and pray for them. You say, well, that little child isn't going to understand. Well, the parents believed that the touch of Jesus would make a difference.
Amen.
Well, so the baby isn't going to keep anything. They're not going to remember. How do you know the baby wouldn't remember that? I just in my heart believe that if Jesus touches somebody, I don't care how old they are, they're going to know it.
Amen.
They're going to know it. You know, we didn't have a baby dedication this year. We've done that a number of years. But that's why we do. That's why we have a baby dedication. It's more of a prayer for the mom and dad. It's a prayer that the Lord would give the mom and dad wisdom and power to raise their child for the glory of God. And maybe that's what these parents, they come to Jesus, we want you to lay your hands on them. And the laying on of hands, you know what that symbolized? An acceptance. An acceptance. Can you see these parents gathered around Jesus with their child? Who's next? Who's next? And Jesus, oh, by the way, one of the passages that we read, it says he picked them up and held them. Did you catch that? He picked them up and held them. What an honor that would be. I think it'd be awesome. We're going to get to heaven one day and we're going to run into some of these kids. I really believe that. Some of these kids that were picked up and held and prayed for by Jesus. Well, I have to tell you, if those who hinder children from coming to Jesus bring him displeasure, then those who bring children to Jesus must bring him pleasure. And so it took adults. It took adults to bring the children to Jesus. We're going to have a vacation Bible school coming up in about a month and a half. It's going to take help. It's going to take workers. It's going to take prayer. Our purpose for that is not just to put it on the calendar, but it's to reach children. It's to get the gospel to these children. A lot of times if you reach a child and they receive Christ, guess where Christ goes when they go home? Back to their house. Jesus is in little Tommy's heart, even if little Tommy's mom and dad are unsaved. Even if little Tommy's mom and dad like to drink beer and smoke dope and do narcotics and all of that, if little Tommy gets saved and brings Jesus home, you'd be amazed how that can work in parents' lives. There's always going to be obstacles in bringing children to Jesus. There's going to be the obstacle of, well, I just don't have time. I just don't have time. Me, mine, and that's all. That's all I have time for. There's always going to be that obstacle. There's going to be the obstacle of money. Well, we got to keep these buses. Man, every week I'm hearing about problems on the buses, aren't we, Brother Brian? Every week we got to fix the bus. Every week we got to repair this. Every week I'm wondering if I can really trust the mechanics here. Are they setting us up? May God judge them if they're not being honest. But it costs time. It costs money. It costs energy. I've worked the bus route. I've worked the bus route for years. As I'm doing this study, there's a desire in my heart to get back at it and working with children. That was thrilling. I enjoyed that. But I'll admit, by the end of the Sunday after working the bus route, you're exhausted. Especially if you're on the bus in the morning, and then you're preaching, and then you're on the bus in the afternoon. Brother Tracy, I did that for a while. It's just exhausting. But it is fulfilling. It is fulfilling. But there's just a cost. There's always going to be these obstacles. Well, do I have the energy to expend? Vacation Bible School is going to take a little extra work. Some of you may not be able to have the energy, but maybe you got the money to help us. But you certainly can pray. You can pray. They're meeting in junior church right now. Those kids are hearing the Word of God. We can pray. We want God, and I want all of our teachers to take that absolutely serious, because some of these kids, this may be the only time they hear about Jesus the right way all week long. There's always going to be obstacles. But when Jesus does touch the children, it is enough. Verse 15, it says, and he laid his hands on them. Now in Mark and Luke, it says, and he prayed for them. It says in verse 15, and he laid his hand on them and departed thence. Matthew Henry said, it was sufficient. When Jesus laid his hands on him and prayed for him, and he walks away, he's testifying, what I've done is sufficient. It's sufficient. Why? Why? What's the big significance here about these children? For such is the kingdom of God. A simple faith. May I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. We are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. It doesn't matter how old you are here. Dear Brother John Hine is still a child of God. Amen. He's our patriarch, but he's a child of God. We are God's children. Listen, the only way you get there is through Jesus. The only way you escape hell is through Jesus. I mean, it's absolutely important that we understand this, but hey, listen, there's a group of people out there, there's an element of society out there that they're more receptive. They're more receptive to the gospel. Now, I know Brother Brian had a number of people raise their hands last week about when were you saved and all of that, and I've done that. But the reality is this, you get a little 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old, and even teenagers, for the most part, are far more receptive to receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior than a 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80-year-old is. Now, I know you can get saved at latter in life, and I know some of you did, and thank God for His grace. Man, I know some of you, the grace of Jesus shined on your heart when you were in your 70s or even in 80s, and that's awesome. You're special. Thank God for it. Amen. Remember, you'd won all those years, and if you'd have died without Christ and taken your next breath, where you would have woke up? The Bible tells us about the rich man. When he died, he lifted up his voice being in torments in hell. I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it is the grace of God, but right now we got this opportunity to reach people. And I guess the purpose that I'm trying to present through the narrative here is, I mean, Jesus preserved this in His Word to let us know, you better go after the children. And you better make it easy on them to come to Me. You know, hey, listen, yes, are they going to dirty up the bathrooms? Yes, they are. Are they going to dirty up the floors? Yes, they are. Oh, man, is there going to be a lot of work involved? Yes, there is. What's that passage in Proverbs? I think Clarence Sexton preached on it a couple of times. It says, where there are no oxen, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. You were all a child at one time. And many of you that serve in this church right now, it's because God reached you when you were young. If we don't reach children, who's going to keep the church going when we're gone if the Lord tarries? We have a great responsibility to go after the children, to reach the children. And so my emphasis really is this. We need help knocking on doors. We need help inviting kids to church. We need help praying and developing good relationships. Oh, by the way, I need to mention this for those of you that may not be real familiar with our church. If you work with the young people in our church, we do background checks. Everybody on live stream, did you get that? We do background checks. I understand in our weird, disgusting society today, the devil will do whatever he can to come in and destroy a good thing. And we're going to do all we can to take the right precautions, but on the same token, we've got to show initiative. We got to talk. And we got to be friendly to these kids when they show up. I loved Brother Al. I loved Brother Al. Man, he always had that pocket full of little dum-dums and candy. And it was just a cool thing to watch the little children come up to him. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. And I don't know if we want to give more than sugar, but it's a blessing. We're showing love. And yes, we're going to bribe the kids. Next week, we got a big pizza party. It's for the whole church, but I'm hoping the kids come. We'll do things. We try to do things every Sunday for the bus. I mean, we might have a hot dog Sunday. We might have a snow cone Sunday. We might have a donut Sunday. And all the cleanup on the bus. Hey, I'm telling you, the cleanup on the bus is exciting. By the way, there's a ministry for you. We don't have a whole lot of people volunteering for that. There's some openings, wide openings. Hey, listen, if you want a job, we got one for you. Go check those buses out. Ask Brother Sean. It took a whole day to clean the van. I mean, you get some of that gum and the little blow pops melting in the seats. That Laffy Taffy. You know, after 100-degree weather going through the van on that vinyl floor, it creates a new look and smell. But we're going to keep on doing it. My brothers received Christ as their Savior. Most of them received Christ as their Savior because Mr. Steve knocked on the door of my mom's house in Traverse City, Michigan, and said, hello, I'm Mr. Steve. I'm from Victory Baptist Church. And we run a van through here, and we're picking up kids in the neighborhood. I saw the kids out in the yard, wanted to talk to you and see if they'd be interested in coming. And here's his punch. He said, tomorrow I'll be doing a demonstration. I remember this. Tomorrow I'll be doing a demonstration with a sword. I will be cutting a watermelon on a man's belly, and then we'll eat the watermelon. Watermelon and guts. Well, I was a teenager at the time. My younger brothers, I was 13 at the time. My younger brothers, I'd gotten saved But I'm there and I discover this and I'm like, yeah, I'm in. We all showed up at church and I remember here we are. I've got t-shirt and jeans on. I've probably got holes in my old Converse and I don't know what my hair, 80s hairdo, man. It just said all over the place. And we look like we've just been picked up in kind of a rough neighborhood. So we're sitting down. Preacher gets to preaching, and I just remember him talking about hell. And, man, it doesn't take long for a teenager to think back on his wicked ways. And I thought, man, I must be lost. I don't want to go to hell. So I went to the altar again. My brothers went to the altar. And the guy at the altar said, well, you got to receive Christ as your Savior. Have you done that? I said, well, I did. He said, have you been baptized? I said, no. He said, well, that's the next step of obedience. I said, well, I'm in. Let's do it. I don't even think they got my parents' permission. Man, I don't think they did. We have to now. My brother, Lenny, now he got saved. I was already saved. He got saved. I remember I got baptized, and they went to baptize him, and they had to put him under twice. He didn't go all the way under. That scared him. But my family, my brothers at least come to know the Lord through that experience. My mother ended up getting saved shortly after that. I mean, she got the kind of saved that made her change all of her music, the kind of saved that made her buy all of us Bibles, the kind of saved that made us go to church every Sunday even when Mr. Steve wasn't slicing watermelon on somebody's belly. She got the kind of saved that she started telling her friends about Jesus. I remember she was radical. And I remember she purchased a Dallas Holmes. I don't know if that. And I'll Rise Again on these big albums. I remember her. I thought, that's a cool song. That's all right. Sounds better than Bad Company. And then I remember her playing, I got to forgive us, she loved Jimmy Swaggart's music. I didn't know what kind of character he was, but the music was good. She played that. And I remember her buying Statler Brothers music, the Holy Bible album. Man, I listened to that over and over again, learning the Bible stories. Little influences like that. Just little influences like that affected my heart, affected my brothers. I'm not saying we're perfect or anything like that, but God planted a seed deep in our heart because of that. And you know, and she got it. Now, she had some rough ways, rough times a number of years afterward, but she got it. And I'm just telling you, that started because somebody went after children. Children. I remember Ray Young telling this story, and I can't give names, and I wouldn't remember it anyways, but Ray Young had mentioned, he oversaw the bus ministry up at First Baptist for years. He mentioned visiting a particular neighborhood of children when he first took over. And the parents were very, very hard to talk to. But he was trying to reach this particular community and get as many people, especially the children, into church. And this one family was just difficult, and they wouldn't let him share the gospel with them. He'd go back every Saturday. He'd keep knocking because he just decided he was going to pastor the neighborhood. That's what your bus worker has to do. You got to pastor the neighborhood, even though they're not coming. Pastor the neighborhood. And he said slowly but surely he'd win some folks to them because he'd try to remember their birthdays even though they weren't attending church and all of that. But he'd constantly invite them. Finally, he got this little boy to come. Finally, this little boy came. Man, on the first Sunday he comes, he gets saved. And he's excited, about coming back next week. He's got a little challenge to memorize the scripture and a little award that he's looking forward to getting. And he said, I'm going to try to get my mom and dad to come. Before the week ended, they got in a house fire and the whole family died. Brother Ray said it broke his heart because it took so long because the family was hard. But he was so glad that the bus worker, and it wasn't him at the time, it was another bus worker. He was so glad the bus worker didn't give up on that home. That little boy came and made a real decision for Jesus Christ. Amen.
Children can make a real decision for Jesus Christ. A genuine decision. You know Jonathan Edwards? Anybody heard of him? Amen. Jonathan Edwards testified that he experienced salvation as a four-year-old. Now, I can't vouch for all four-year-olds. I can't. But in his heart, it was as real as salvation was to you and me. He never forgot it. Dan Tidd at Lighthouse testified that eight years old, he experienced salvation. I was about 12 or 13. I wish I'd wrote the date down. Maybe there's some people in the room who say, I received Christ while I was in grade school. Are there any people like that? Got a number of you. You received Christ, a genuine decision. Friends, I got to land this plane. But I know we've got to go after him. And then I may be talking to a crowd in the room right now, an element in this room right now. You don't even know you're going to heaven. You don't have certainty in your own heart. There's doubts all over the place in your mind. And let me just tell you the answer is come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Let me pray with you. Father, bless the message. Thank you for the Bible. I pray your Holy Spirit would help us this morning to listen to you, to learn from you, to be challenged by you. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, maybe there's somebody in the room right now who'd say, Preacher, I do not know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't want to die and go to hell, but I am not certain that I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. If that's you, would you raise your hand? God bless you. God bless you. Are there others that say, Preacher, that's me. I'm just not certain. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Real quickly, just those of you who raised your hand, would you look at me? If you raised your hand, if I can have somebody share with you from the Bible how you can be sure in your own heart how you can go to heaven, would you allow me to share, would you allow them to do that, share that with you? Would that be okay? In a moment, we're going to stand, we're going to sing. I'm going to take this mic off. I want you to slip out of your seat and pray. I hope every Sunday school teachers, I hope you'll join us in prayer. But would you meet me right up front here? I'm going to turn this off. Would you do that? Okay. All right. Lord, may you bless our invitation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Brian, come on up. Let's stand. Let's pray about this, folks.
Let's sing hymn 119, Take My Life and Let It Be.